I've seen the work of your hands, galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. I know the power of your cross, forgiven and free, forever you'll be my God. And all that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. You are beautiful, you are beautiful, oh God. There is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful, God, you are the most beautiful. Yes, you are wonderful, you are wonderful, oh God. There is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God, you are the most wonderful. Yes, you are glorious, you are glorious, oh God. There is no one more glorious, you are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm sing, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Oh God, there is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful. God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious. You are glorious, you are glorious, oh God. There is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. Until I myself in you, in the glory of your presence, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed by you. Isaiah 61 talks about, in verse 3, putting on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And, you know, that's what this song was written all about. And I know that it's pretty simple, but a lot of times the most beautiful praises we can sing to God are the simple ones. You know, when it feels like there's a spirit of heaviness on us, when it feels like we're surrounded, we put on that garment of praise. And in praising God, that's how we fight our battles. Amen. Y'all worship the Lord with me. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. And this is how I find my battles. And this is how I find my battles. And this is how I find my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I know I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I find my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. Come on. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on, declare. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Against you and breathe feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. Sing that again. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, so well. Drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. And this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. And I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Oh, so shake with fear and wonder if you're even here. I've been the one to doubt your love, and I've told myself you're not enough. To try and say I'll overcome by my own strength, and I've been the one to fall apart and start to question who you are. You're the one who conquers giants, you're the one who calls out kings, you shut the mouth of lions, you tell the dead to breathe, you're the one who walks through fire, you take the orphan's hand, you are the one Messiah, you are I am. Held down in chains beneath the weight of all my shame, and I've been the one to believe that where I am you cannot reach. But you're the one who conquers giants, you're the one who calls out kings, you shut the mouth of lions, you tell the dead to breathe, you're the one who walks through fire, you take the orphan's hand, you are the one Messiah, you are I am, you are I. With the Spirit inside, the same one, that very same one who brought the Son back to life. You're the one who calls out kings, you shut the mouth of lions, you tell the dead to breathe, you're the one who walks through fire, you take the orphan's hand, you are the one Messiah, you are I am, you are. You're the one who conquers giants, you're the one who calls out kings, you shut the mouth of lions, you tell the dead to breathe, you're the one who walks through fire, you take the orphan's hand, you are the one Messiah, you are I am, you are.
Aren't you glad that God will be with us? He said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you always. Amen. That's our God. Hallelujah. He went to a great deal of trouble to be able to fellowship with you and I. He went to a great, through a methodical plan of the living God, to be able to abide inside of the believer. Woo! Hallelujah. That same victory that he won, that was for you and me. Amen? Whosoever will. Oh, glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pray with me just for a minute. Father God, we love you. We honor you. Oh, we want to yield to you in every form and fashion. This is your church. We're your people. Hallelujah. Glory. We ask, Lord, that you just lead us and guide us in your perfect will. Lord, give us unction. Unction by your Spirit. Let your anointing come upon us to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear like never before. Open up our heart to be able to receive everything you'd have for us. Help us to receive it and then act upon it, Father. We don't want to have faith that's dead. We want active faith. We want to operate in what you'd have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we started talking about some things that would help us to live more free. You know, Jesus said that the reason why he came was for you and I to be made free. Amen. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. But, you know, the Bible also is very clear. It says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've got to have knowledge. And where there's no vision, God said, my people perish. So we got to have a vision of what God is wanting to do in and through our lives continually. And, you know, we very seldom talk about hell. We talk about heaven. We don't, very seldom do we talk about sin because we talk about the cure of sin. Amen. But sometimes we need to look at the negative to help us to understand the positive even better. Amen. So if you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8. And I want us to think about this just for a minute. If you and I are truly going to be free, if we're truly every day going to walk in a greater level of anointing, pleasing Jesus, we've got to look at the examples in the Bible, how the devil likes to drive people. Now the Holy Ghost, he leads us. He leads us ever so gently. And he leads with that still, small voice. And we have the promise that we can always hear the Lord's voice and another we won't follow. Amen. But there's people that you and I are going to encounter that are going to need knowledge of freedom and victory. And they're going to be driven by the enemy. And so if we can understand the operation, the MO, the method of operation of the enemy, I believe we can help them and not only help ourselves. Amen. Because not one of us is exactly where Christ would have us to be. Amen. We're growing up in him. So let's look at some stuff here. Luke chapter 8. Let's start reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Very familiar story. When you're there, say amen. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, when Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil, mark that down, was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for what you're doing in this service today. Lord, thank you for the understanding that falls freely out of heaven, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I just the outside world, and let every ear be open to the Word of God and let it go forth in their lives. Let us all grow up and step forward to where you have us to be in this time and in this place on earth, Father. Do your will and have your way, Lord. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. There is so much meat in these verses of Scripture here. But we need to understand that everywhere Jesus went, he met the devil head on. Well, you and I, we are his representative here on earth. And we're going to meet the devil head on. But we're going to meet the devil in the name of the Lord. Not in our own selves, not in our own ability, not in our own understanding, but we're going to meet him in that name above all other names, that name by which we're saved, by which we're healed, which we're delivered, that name by which we live and breathe. Amen? The name above all other names. So as we look at these verses of Scripture, let's understand this driving that the devil wants to do. Because every one of us, we've either been in the position where the devil was trying to drive us somewhere, or we've had family or friends, or we've seen people doing things that they didn't want to do. And so if you'll bear with me tonight, and this may take just a little bit of time, if you get tired, just raise your hand and we'll quit and we'll pick it back up. Because I want to cover this. It may take a little while. That's okay, though. But this morning we talked about you can have victory in your life. And if it's a flesh situation, you can crucify it. And we're going to look at that. We're going to document that out of the Word of God. But if you can't document it from the Word by crucifixion, if you can't follow Jesus' example and get the victory, then there's a demon behind it. Amen? And so we need to learn that. We need to look at that. So let's see this. It said, and when they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and when he, Jesus, went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils, plural, with an S. Amen? Had devils. Now, what we got to understand that every time that you and I get in disobedience or when we encounter somebody who is in sin, that behind that sin, there is a devil pushing that sin. And so when I yield to that sin, I can speak from very clearly personal experience. When I yield to one sin that my flesh really liked, what I didn't understand was that opened up a web, because whatever you have, you yield to, that brings so much more than just the one thing. Amen? And so here, this man, we don't know what happened to him. We don't know what got him in this position. But no doubt, he kept going down this path. And as he went down this path, he got more and more full of the enemy. And he got more and more under the control of the enemy. Now see, that's why it's so important. You know, Jesus made this statement through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. I believe it's verse number 27. He said, be angry. It's verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So I can be angry without sinning. But if I take that angry and I go to bed with it, that's a whole nother ball game. And so when I go to bed with that anger, that opens up a door that we talked about this morning. You and I, we are a house. And just like your house, you have doors, you have windows in your house. And if you don't keep them closed, something's going to come in it. Amen? And so we got to be very cautious. So if I say that I go to bed angry and I yield to that, and I'll wake up the next morning and I'll be more angry than I was when I went to sleep. And if I don't deal with that, that anger will start turning to hate. And that hate will start turning to malice. And that malice will start turning to wrath. Now, we look at these and say, well, that just works of the flesh. It can be. But more than likely, it's a spirit behind it. And you realize that Jesus said that if I hated my heart, it was the same as murder. This is a serious thing. And so this man, no doubt, he started something so simple, so little. And it took him to a place where he's in the tombs, naked. He's being driven continually. So you and I have got to look at people with compassion. We can't look at them and see where they're at and say, man, they ought to know better than that. Where would we be tonight without the grace of God? We might all be in hell if it was not for the goodness of God. Amen? And so we're here to help people. Point them to the answer. Point them to the one who loved them enough that said, I'm going to come and walk in the same flesh body as you, and I want to make a way for you to have victory. Amen? That's who we're going to talk about, and that's who we're going to show them. But getting back to the scripture, notice this. It said that he had these devils a long time, and he wear no clothes. Now, this is what is so sad to me. Neither abode in any house. Now, remember this morning is the first part of this message. We were talking about 856 times in the Bible you can read about the house of David or the house of who, you know, your house of Saul, whatever. Fill it in the blank. So that house represents you, but it's your family line. And if you notice in the family line, there you can either have blessings or you can have cursings. But this man here, he was driven away from the house of his, not only his family, which might have been in a place of blessing, because the devil wants to separate you and I from blessing. And he wants to separate us from the very house of who we were created to house, Jesus himself, the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so here he is. He's in this place, and it says that he dwelt in the tombs. In other words, not in the place of life, but in the place of death. Can you imagine? Here he is. He's surrounded by this 24/7. Now, every one of us, we fought the devil in our mind. And we've been tormented in our mind. We've been tormented in our body. But this man, 24/7, because he was fully given over to this legion of evil spirits, there he's in this situation. And so we need to read this, and we need to be so cautious and so be careful about our children. And warn them. Hey, you don't need to mess with that. That there's a curse on that, and if you bring that curse in your life, you're going to bring it, and it's going to be more than what you bargained for. What's the old saying? Sin will take you. That's right. Come on. All right. So look what it says. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out. Now, this is not the man talking. This is the demon, the head, the chief principal, the chief demon. He's the one that's over all the rest of them. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, let's think about that. If we're not careful, we can sit on a church pew and the Holy Ghost be moving and God wants us to do something and we hold on to that chair. But here we've got the chief demon who knows who Jesus is. James 2:19 says that the demons, the devils, they tremble. They believe and they tremble. But it doesn't profit them, and it won't. But it's going to profit you and I. Amen. We're going to reverence the Most High God. We're going to honor Jesus. And when we do that, we're going to have victory and freedom. All right. Now stay with me. He says, it goes into print then in verse 29, meaning what had happened between the two verses before. For Jesus, he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and when he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, he broke the bands and was driven, notice that, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now this word driven, it means to drive by wind or to drive by demon. Because you know the same word, pneuma, breath, can be of your spirit, my spirit, can be of the Holy Spirit, or it can be of an evil spirit because it's a current of air. And so this is what's driving this man. And notice it says that it drove him to the wilderness. You know, this wilderness, it means a lonesome, wasteful place. Every one of us, we've been there. And so tonight, I want compassion by the Holy Ghost to be churned up inside of us, that we start looking and letting the Lord show us people who are in a lonesome and a wasteful place. Know that they're there, not of their own accord necessarily. They may have made a mistake, but then the devil moved in there and he blew them off course. How many times have you and I been blew off course? Come on. But by God's mercy, by God's grace, we're here tonight. Amen. We're in the body of Christ. And as Brother Corey said, we are seated. Ephesians 2:6. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we're here on the earth. Amen. Now notice, I like this here. Jesus, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now, what we want to do is, we want to understand that Christ here, he got to the point of what the chief problem was. Now see, in a lot of situations, we have little sins. And those little sins are really big sins. But those little sins have little demons behind them. Yeah. And if we ain't careful, we'll give those to God. But the big things we want to hold on to. And we got to get the number one thing that is hindering us, that is binding us out of our life. We've got to give that to Jesus and let Jesus call it out. Only Jesus knows. You don't know, I don't know. But he'll call it out. And if we let him call it out, we have the victory tonight. Amen? Amen. We have the assurance. Look what happens. Drop down to verse number 35. Verse 35. Then they that went out to see what was done, they wanted to see what happened after Jesus had spoke with authority to this man. They went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, and they found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Come on, that's what Jesus does. Amen? He drives them out. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, I thought about that for a long time through my Christian life, and I thought, I would have been afraid of a man that was naked, running through the tombs that could break chains. But here they are, they're afraid of what has happened. And I think also that maybe they're a little godly reverent. Even though they don't want what all is going on, they recognize something greater than what they saw has been in their presence. Amen? Now, this gets exciting to me because look what it says. It says in verse 36, "They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." They went and told. You and I got something to tell tonight. Come on now. We may not be perfect yet, but we're on the progress towards perfection. Amen? And so we got a testimony. We need to tell people, hey, I used to do this and I couldn't help it. But let me tell you what Jesus done. I don't do that anymore because Him working in my life, because of His deliverance, because of His victory. So we don't have to be driven, but when we see somebody else driven, let's have compassion on them. Let's be moved to do something. Amen? We need to be moved. Now, I want to show you that just because you get saved and I get saved and we start walking with the Lord, that doesn't mean that it's all going to be spice and pudding from now on. Amen? The devil hates you. The Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love. Guess what? The devil is a direct opposite. He hates you with an everlasting hate, and he wants to destroy you. That's why Jesus came, that we could have life and have it. Amen? All right. So let's look at something here. Let's look at Judas. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, and let's see something about Judas. One of Christ's disciples. Now, in Judas 22, I mean, in talking about Judas in Luke 22, look what it says. Now, the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which was called the Passover. Verse 2. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Verse number 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being a number of the 12. Now, we look at that and we think, well, Judas, the reason why this happened to him was because he never really was a part. The scripture just said he was a part of the 12. Amen? Judas was a part of the 12. And he had a call on his life. He was the one who was to be the financier of the ministry of Jesus. But he let greed get in there, and that greed started everything else in his life. Now, notice that it said he entered Judas. Now, let's hold your place right here, and let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 13. Let's read a verse and see how he done that. John chapter 13, verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, to betray Jesus. So how did the devil get in? He got in because it was an open door of greed. There was an open door of wanting what he wanted rather than what the Lord wanted. But he put it into his heart. Remember this morning we talked about the devil, he cannot get in the Christian spirit. Because in your spirit is the Holy Ghost. That's the true temple. The reason why your body's called the temple is because your body clothes, amen, your spirit. So the heart here is the soul. Because your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So he entered in to the very heart, the soul of Judas. And when you're under the influence of the devil, he starts driving you to do things that you would never do. So if you've got someone that you love and you are looking at them and they're doing things that's out of character, you don't start a fight with them. You don't get mad at them. You take it to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? Why are they being driven this way? What's the spirit behind this? How can I be used by you to bind that spirit and to loose what needs to be loosed? God's got every kind. We've got the seven manifold spirit of God, amen? But we've got ministering spirits. We've got holy angels that are waiting to be put to work on our behalf, amen? So here he is. Let's drop down and read verse 27, I believe it is. Look what Jesus said to him. Verse 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him, into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now see, Jesus knowed all about the very plan of God. He walked with Jesus. Jesus knew all about what was possible for Judas. We see the interaction here. It's the same way with you and I tonight. God's got a plan for you. Your days are numbered. Your days are wrote out in His book. But it's up to you and I to choose to live out of His book and not the enemy's. Amen? Amen. Now let's understand Judas just a little bit more. Stay with me. Go to Luke chapter. Let's see where I want to go. Maybe I want to go to Matthew chapter 9. I want to read this before we go. Now this is who saved us, and this is the way we're supposed to act. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? Now, gospel is what? Good news, right? Righteousness. Good news. It's the plan of God. All right. The gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Why? Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. Now, we've got to be in the place and the position where if we're not careful, if we looked and we saw somebody like Judas, we would say, well, that's a thief. I'm not going to have anything to do with a thief because nobody likes a thief. But Jesus wants you and I to do like he did. He wants us to be moved with compassion. He wants us to take a gospel to them that will bring healing to them. Now, it's up to, they have free will. They can receive it or reject it. But that's not your problem. That's not my problem. All we do is do what Jesus said to do, and the burden then is on the Holy Spirit to pull them, whether they receive or not. Come on now. So, here Judas is, here's the leaven with him, and they're seeing Jesus walk in this. They're seeing it, it's real. They're seeing the example, amen? So, when you look in chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. He wanted to set an example. He wanted to go in their life. See, you and I, if we'll be concerned about the Lord's business, all of a sudden he gets compassionate about our cities, our families, our peoples. Amen? Now, this is all pointing to something. Stay with me. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 9 and then chapter 10. Luke 9 and 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over some devils. All devils, to cure diseases, and he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, does it say the 11 or does it say the 12? The 12. Now, let's think about that just for a minute. Here Judas is, he's got a problem, but yet Jesus is using him. I don't know about you tonight, but I got some problems. But I'm going to let Jesus use me, and I'm going to let him get me out of those problems where I don't excel in the demonic, being driven by the demonic, but I'm excelling in being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So it doesn't matter. Tell the devil when he brings up something to your mind that you didn't do exactly right, tell him Jesus don't know nothing about that because the blood washed it away. Amen? Tell him that you're called, and you're anointed, and you're for a purpose. Amen? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He's never going to change his mind. Amen? So just hold that in your forefront of your mind. Now, that's chapter 9. Let's look at chapter 10. Verse number 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70. Now, this is 70 just like to go with the 12. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, you got the 12 disciples to go to the 12 tribes of Israel. You got the 70 here who is going to be a type of you and I. The church going to the world. Amen? Okay. Now, he said, I want you to make a place, make people ready for where I'm coming. Now think about that. Tonight you're led by the Holy Ghost, and the Lord's going to send you to minister to them, but his Spirit's already been there, but Jesus is going to come because you're bringing him. Amen? So we're not driven by the demonic, we're led by the Spirit, but if things don't work out, We don't let it stop us. We don't let it discourage us. We don't let it happen like it did to Judas. Because look here when they come back. Drop down to verse 17. Luke 10 and 17. And the 70 returned with a little joy. With joy. Amen. Why were they joyous? Here's what they had to say. This was their testimony. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory. The name of the Lord. Amen. The name of Jesus. Jesus told them, he said, hey, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. No big deal. No big deal. He said, don't rejoice about that. Don't be excited about that. You be excited that your name is written down in heaven. Amen. See, we think it's a big deal. We lift up the devil if we're not careful. Jesus wants to keep him in perspective. What's the perspective of the devil? Under the feet of Jesus. And I'm in the body of Christ. You're in the body of Christ. So he's under our feet. Amen. Now, Judas had the power to take care of this. But he didn't do it. Tonight, you and I, we've got to make sure that when the enemy comes around and starts trying to drive us, starts trying to get in our lives, whether it's in our body, whether it's in our soul, we need to take authority over him. Amen?
Amen.
Because we want to be an example to somebody else. We want to be able to go up to them and say, listen, I see what's happening to you right now. And let me tell you firsthand experience about a shepherd I know that's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And what he did for me, he'll do for you. Amen? See, Jesus knows it all. In the Gospel of John, I believe it is, Jesus makes this statement. He says, I picked you 12, and one of you has a devil. The word is, should be demon. Has an evil spirit, has an unclean, impure spirit. Jesus knew. Now let me rephrase that. Actually, what Jesus said he is a devil. But if you look at that word is, about 13 other times it's translated have. Acts 8:21 is translated hast. So he had a devil. Okay? But he had authority over that devil. You tonight, me tonight, the church tonight, the blood-bought, blood-washed Christian has authority over that devil. But we've got to see it and we've got to understand it because he works in so many different ways. You got time for a little more? Okay, that's Judas, because you can preach about that and most people, they won't care. But now this may get on somebody's toes. Let's go to Matthew 16. And let's look at Peter. Matthew chapter 16. You realize you can be under the unction of the Holy Ghost 1 second, and you can be under the unction of the devil the next. It's true. All right, look what happens. Jesus asked this question in verse 13. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they go forth and start telling him. But he asked in verse 15, he asked Peter, he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we've got to know, and that's what we've got to say. That's our testimony. Amen? Now, look what Jesus said. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, hearing, Bar, son, Jonah, dove, the hearing son of the dove. When you get saved and you get baptized into the body of Christ and the Holy Ghost comes in you and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are a hearing son of the dove. Amen? That means you no longer have to hear by the outside, you no longer have to hear what the devil's saying. You can tune him out and tune in to what the Lord would say. Amen? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, he goes on and he tells Peter some stuff. He says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Thank the Lord for that. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Everything is going great. Peter has made this testimony, and because of that testimony, he has pulled from Jesus the words he needs to come into operation into the kingdom. Amen? Same way with all of us. But we got to be humble. Humble. With revelation, the devil comes to try to bring pride. Amen? Now notice what happens. Verse 20. "Then charged he," Jesus is talking to his disciples, "that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22. "Then Peter took him." Then Peter took him. Then Peter takes Jesus. Now, can you just see this? Now, we don't know, and this is my inference, and if I'm wrong, the Holy Spirit convict me of it. But I know that Peter loved Jesus. I know that he loved him, and he didn't want anything to happen to him, and he didn't want to hear this. And so that means even our love can be an open door if it's misused. So we got to really think hard about that and be cautious about that. But at the same time, I can also see Peter, knowing how he is, he's very bold to speak. He's very bold to act. And so I'm sure he's back here. He's thinking about, Jesus just said I had the keys. He said I could bind and loose. And then I can just see him this rolling over in his mind, you know, and out of the side of his hearing here, he hears Jesus make this statement, and he says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now, can you imagine? You've walked with Jesus, you've seen him raise the dead, you've seen him heal the lepers, you've seen all of these miracles. And you saw not one word fall to the ground, but everything he said come to pass. Yeah. But I'm gonna. You said I could bind and loose. Come on. And I love you, and I don't want anything to happen to you. So no, that's not going to happen. What does Jesus tell us that's happening here? Verse 23. That's exactly right, Brother Scott. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Now he's not calling Peter. I've heard so many people say, he's calling Peter Satan. No, he's not. Because Satan is in operation through Peter, just like he was through Judas. So if the devil can work through Peter when he makes this great revelation, because the Holy Ghost come all over him, because Jesus said it did. He said, "You are the hearing son of the dove." That means the anointing is on him. And if he can go from that anointing to the devil speaking in his ear that quickly, then you and I have got to trust in God. Amen. We've got to hold on to the Lord with everything we've got. Amen? Because you can be just coasting along one minute, and if you're not careful, the next minute, you can be in rebellion, in pride, in sin. You can reject the words of the one who saved you. Now, if somebody like Peter could do that, if you and I could do that, then how much more is people who are not where they need to be with the Lord, can that happen to them? See, we don't need to judge them. We need to be moved with compassion for them. We need to let the Lord show us how to. We don't have to do it in front of them. We could stand right beside them. Ryan, you could just stand there and just quietly to yourself. When you see that spirit, you go, and just say it. Spirit can hear you. And you just quietly say, "I bind you, you spirit of fear. And that spirit has to bow because he's not doing it in his name. He's doing it in the name that saved him and washed him. Amen? We've got to learn how to operate in this because in these last days, the enemy is going to do all that he can because he wants to hurt God. He wants to take as many people out of the will of God, the plan of God, as he can because his number one agenda is he wants to grieve God. Now, I'll tell you what I think. Now, that's really worth nothing, but I'm going to tell you what I think. My opinion is the reason why he fights all the way to the end, besides being just stupid, is that he, when I say that, I mean, come on, you ain't going to win against God. He's not stupid. He's very smart. But I mean, in our, if I fought against God, that to me is stupid because I know who God is. But here's why I think he does that. I think he honestly believes that when it comes to the very end, if he can get that, remember what Revelation says? He gets as the sand of the sea to follow him after the 1,000-year millennial reign. That's how deceptive and how good he is at his job. I think he honestly thinks that God will be so heartbroken that he won't send him to hell. But what he don't know is God doesn't send him to hell.
They send themselves to hell. It's free choice.
That's exactly right.
Free will.
Free will.
It's their choice.
Their choice. My choice.
Yeah.
I can choose to turn and walk away anytime. But we got to be so cautious. And we got to see what is happening here. Amen? And we got to see that it just didn't happen with one disciple. It just didn't happen with two disciples. But it happened to, in the back, let's go back to Luke. I believe it's Luke 9. It happened to James and John. Come on, John is the apostle of love. Amen? You read his writings and he keeps talking about my little children, my little children. He talks with such tenderness and such love. But this is a little different. Luke chapter 9, verse number 51. Luke 9, 51. And it came to pass when the time, everybody say the time, was come that he, Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, he was compelled, the Bible says, to go to the cross. Amen? For you and I. That's it. Yes, sir. Verse 52, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? Does that sound like the apostle of love? Now, how do we know it's a spirit? Jesus tells us. Verse 55. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of
spirit
you are of. Walking right with Jesus and didn't even realize what they just said. But Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. Do we love people enough to tell them the truth? Look what Jesus said. This is our whole goal, to be like him. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. That's why we're here. That's why Jesus saved us. When you got saved, he put a seed in you. And that seed is the ability to do what Jesus done on the earth. Jesus said, I want you not just to do what I did, but I want you as a whole to do greater works. John 14, 12. I want you to do it because you can do it. Amen? So what we got to do, we got to step back. And we got to say, Lord, I have complete victory, I know, in this area of my life. But I want to be honest with you. I can't do certain things that you'd have me to do over here. I can be led by the Spirit over here, but here, it seems I have difficulty hearing. I have difficulty yielding. And it seems like there's something that's driving me in a different direction. And I want to make that confession to you. And I want to tell you that I don't want that. I want to be able to give people compassion. I want to look at them and not judge them. I want to look at them and let your love come through me. You are a vessel of love. Come on now. One of my favorite verses, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, in our spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Amen? That means I can love when Jesus empowers me to love, no matter what the flesh says. Amen? No matter what it says. So I think we've got these examples so we can learn and we can recognize that if it's the flesh, okay, go back to Matthew 16. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost just reminded me of something. After Jesus said that to Peter in verse 23, look what he said in verse 24. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Now, what's the context? The context is, Peter, this spirit is not in you, but it's working through your flesh, and you can crucify the flesh. Yeah. Judas was a different ballgame. He was like the man at the tombs. Satan actually entered into his heart, his soul, his mind, will, and emotions. And so we got two examples, and we got different levels. Now, if there's something that you can say, you can go to the Lord and you say, Lord, this here bothers me, this here limits me, would you show me a scripture on that? And the Holy Ghost will lead you to a scripture. You pray that scripture, and all of a sudden, you start getting freedom. You're crucifying the flesh. You're yielding to the Lord. Then you're pushing that demonic influence away from you. But if it's something you cannot get rid of, if it's something that's with you 24/7, then it has to be what? It has to be cast out. Now, Mark 16:15, Jesus said, the very first sign that's to follow the believer, you shall what? Cast out devils. Now, look, we're all ready to lay hands on the sick. That's the last thing. That's the fifth one. And a lot of times, I've been too quick to lay hands on people and anoint them with oil, and it was not going to heal them because there was a demon behind it. The demon had to be dealt with before the healing would come. Luke 13, remember, Jesus walks into the temple. Now, there's a little old lady there. She's been bent over for 18 years. She didn't have arthritis in the sense of what, like we would call arthritis today. She had what? A spirit of infirmity. Jesus spoke to it, but then he had to lay his hands on her to finish the work. This was a powerful demon. But it wasn't more powerful than the Son of our God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. So tonight, the admonishment that the Spirit of God is wanting to do, he's wanting you and me to be free in every area. Now see, you and I can have areas where the demon's working and we don't even recognize it. They can be, you can have feelings about certain people. We've all sat around the table with our family, when we was little, And we'll say, and they'll start talking about somebody, and they go, you know, oh, so-and-so, you know, they've always been like this, and they've always done that. You don't even think nothing about it. You're just a kid sitting there. Well, you get grown, and all of a sudden you see them, and you go, oh. Yes. See, that seed was planted in us. And if we don't get rid of all of that, that's an open door for the devil to bring a spirit of being judgmental. And all of a sudden then, if I get hooked up here with Brother Donnie, and man, can you believe what they did? And he goes, oh yeah, I've seen them do it before. All of a sudden now, we're creating an evil soul tie.
Yep.
And so every evil spirit that's working in me in that comes to Donnie.
Yep.
And everyone that's working in him comes to me. And all of a sudden, this web comes over us. And instead of being more free,
you're more bound.
And then we go and we pray and we wonder why God don't hear us.
Yep.
God hears us. Always. But I've got his hands tied. Amen? We've got to get to the point that the devil doesn't influence us in any way. Because what God is wanting to do here is going to take you and I to be able to be in the place that we accept all people at all times. And we don't try to change them. We let the Lord use us to encourage them. He does the changing. Amen? And so what you're going to have to do, what I'm going to have to do, we're going to have to say, Lord, you're going to have to really help me in this situation, because maybe they've hurt you, or maybe they've hurt some of your family, or maybe something about them, that the spirit that is hindering them and working on them has worked in your life or in your family's life. And you, for no reason, if you ever just walk past somebody and for some reason you thought, I just don't like them.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You didn't think that. You didn't feel that. That was a spirit, amen, of hatred, a spirit of division. But you and I, we're held together by the Holy Ghost. It says by the bond of peace.
Yeah.
Amen? But we got to learn how to operate it in the smallest of details. And if we will do that, we're going to become more and more free, just like we're supposed to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus makes this statement in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 1 and 2, he says, judge not lest you be judged. But he said, with the judgment that you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. So there is no doubt that the devil has many imps, many evil spirits that wants to come and sit on our shoulder and look at a situation and go, boy, they shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have acted like that. Boy, we're setting ourselves up to step right in the middle of it. It's these little things that is keeping us from being joyous and free all the time that spoil the vine. Yes, sir. So I want you and I, in the name of Jesus together, we're going to bind every outside voice. And we're going to ask the Holy Ghost just to come up inside of us and show us what he wants to deal with tonight, where we can have more freedom, more victory, more liberty than we ever had, where our testimony will be more true and more genuine. It'll be so powerful that it'll reach out to the hardest of heart, because it can't be disputed. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind every outside voice, every hindering spirit, and we stand on your word that you are our shepherd. We are your sheep. We can hear your voice and follow you. Lord, now lead us out of every jail cell, every limitation, every influence of the enemy that we're ready for now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar at your chair, and just still your mind. And let the Lord bring to you what He wants to make you free from, what He wants to make me free from. Hallelujah. No doubt, no fear. Amen. None of these things. Hallelujah. Glory.